all who mourn. You are the source of heaven's hope on earth. Jesus, light in the darkness. Jesus, truth in each circumstance. You are the source of heaven's light on earth. In history, you lived and died. You broke the chains. You rose to life. You are the hope living in us. You are the rock in whom we trust. You are the light shining for all the world to see. Yeah, you rose from the dead, conquering fear, our Prince of Peace, drawing us near. Jesus, our hope, living for all the world to see. But we
hello friends, welcome to worship today. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let's join together in today's call to worship. Believers, arise, come and worship. We come filled with faith in the saving mercy of our Lord. We come as hopeful people, hopeful for a new life, hopeful for justice, hopeful for freedom, hopeful for God's Spirit to move in us and through us. Believers, welcome to the house of the Lord. Welcome to worship. And if you have a candle at home that you light to help you enter into a time of worship, let's light them together now as I light the Christ candle. Today's prayer is an adaptation of a worship song that I really love and that I hope will speak to you as well. Would you pray with me? Jesus, come. Come reveal to whom we belong. Savior, Messiah, we are yours. Through your death, you have paid the ransom for our lives. So we come with confidence into your house. We believe you are the Lamb the prophets spoke about. On the cross, you paid the price for all our sins. Today, we come to worship you with pure delight. Hear the songs of our hearts rise to you. In your name we pray, blessed Redeemer. Amen. Let's come together to the throne of grace, confessing our sins to God. Almighty God, you warn us to read the signs for the coming of your glory in the sun, the moon, the stars, the roaring of the seas and the waves, the distress among the nations. We have seen it all before, and sometimes it seems like nothing seems to change. Help us live with courage in this age of ambiguity. Forgive our lapse of focus and our sense that nothing ever really changes. Teach us to wait with patience and hope that we may be ready as our Redeemer draws near, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Friends, in our reading today, we hear this incredible invitation. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings. Our faith promises that through God's love that has been shown to us in Christ, we have been made clean and we are forgiven. Thanks be to God, and God's people say, Amen.
Good morning. Today's reading is from the letters to the Hebrews, chapter 10, and I'm reading verses 11 to 25 from the New Revised Standard Version. And every priest stands day after day at his service, offering again and again the same sacrifices that can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, and since then has been waiting until his enemies would be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. And the Holy Spirit also testifies to us after saying, This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds. He also adds, I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin. Therefore, my friends, since we have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us approach with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
We don't get to hear writings from Hebrews very often, and so seeing as this is our text for today, I thought it might be worth taking a few moments before we really get into the passage to refresh our minds a little bit about the background for this letter to the Hebrews. Hebrews is full of exhortation and wisdom that the writer hopes its recipients will follow. While not explicitly named, its author is clearly someone who had some authority in the church, someone who was gifted and called and experienced with encouraging these early congregations in their mission. We think that it was probably written before the temple in Jerusalem was destroyed, which happened in 70 AD. And that means that it was written in a time when life was particularly challenging for Christians. It was probably sent to a Christian community, either in Rome or in Jerusalem, where people were experiencing intense persecution. We know that Hebrews was particularly directed at Jewish Christians, whose trust in Jesus' all-sufficient saving grace seemed to be waning. It seems that the pressures those recipients were facing were wearing them down, and so they were beginning to return to some of the old ways of Judaism, like maybe the need for circumcision or following certain Jewish laws. When he heard of this, the writer sent this missive, urging them to return to the heart of the gospel that they'd embraced, that nothing else is necessary to be saved. All we need is God's grace, freely offered to us all in Christ. So we have this passage given to Christians who were living in a time when life was becoming more and more difficult, and when the world around them seemed to be growing darker by the day. And that reality was taking its toll on them and on their faith. Does this sound familiar? It's not hard for us today to find connections to this reading. It's a timely one for us right now. As we heard, the passage begins by reminding us of the heart of our faith, that Jesus' sacrifice has done it once and for all. Jesus has made the way for us to be able to draw near to God. This is the point of it all, and all of the rest will grow from that reality if we can just hold on to that truth. Remember that the writer is aware that the people he's writing to are beginning to doubt that Jesus' sacrifice really was enough. And so they were being tempted to return to their old ways of trying to earn God's grace, thinking, oh, well, maybe we were wrong about grace. Maybe if we just reinstate circumcision or maybe some of the food laws, then maybe God's favor will fall on us again and this persecution we're all facing will cease and God will finally finish what he began in Jesus. Life was unbelievably difficult for these people. And understandably, they were struggling to find the energy and the will to stand strong, to remain committed to living in Jesus' way, and to trust that his sacrifice really had been enough. They were being tempted to give up on the beautiful and astounding good news of Christ. And instead, they were starting to put their hope back in old things. So our writer urged them not to give up. He reminded them of the heart of the gospel. He reminded them that things were happening, that they were being made holy, even and perhaps especially in the midst of their suffering. And so he encouraged them to persevere, to trust in the new covenant with God we have in Christ, and to pursue the ways that Jesus had taught them, because that life is the way to the life we seek. Now, you and I are not living in Rome under Nero, whose idea of a good time was absolutely horrifying. But we are living in a time when we are inundated with information and messages that tell us that things are getting worse and that the future is dire. And worst of all, it's pretty easy to start to feel like there is absolutely nothing that you or I can do to change that. Last week, on the heels of what felt like a very consequential U.S. election, I listened to one of Kate Bowler's podcasts. She and her guest for that day, Parker Palmer, were discussing this creeping feeling of helplessness that some people have right now, and how debilitating that feeling can be. They also talked about some things that we can each do to counter that feeling. Palmer's answer to that problem was actually kind of similar to the answer that the Hebrew writer offers us here. I won't go into the details of it, but I do commend the podcast to you. Kate's podcast is a really good series, and this episode is certainly worth a listen. For us, though, for today, let's listen to these ancient and yet oh so timely words we have before us. Listen for what this writer says that we can be doing as people of faith, as Jesus people. What can and must we do in order to stand strong and persevere in our times with all that we seem to be facing? Well, he begins by laying the foundation on which everything else stands, that in Christ God has truly made a way for us to draw near to him once again. So we no longer need this unending stream of priestly sacrifices. Jesus' own sacrifice has done it all. And by following him, our lives can become whole and full, what we in church speak call growing in holiness. The writer teaches that this is the way the life of faith works. And then he describes some good things about that life that we should watch for. Well, good things, but he also describes some not so good ones. He describes some qualities of the life of faith, but it's also clear by what he says that he's well aware of some of the temptations we can all face. He knew that his readers were being tempted to give up on aspects of the Christian life, and he wanted them to persevere, to endure, and to continue to be bearers of the light of Christ in their places and times. My friends, the wisdom this writer offered to those early Christians is as relevant for us today as it was for them. So with these verses before us, let's consider the things he has to say that are distinctive about this life of faith we pursue. And as the pressures mount for us, let's also keep in mind the temptations he has in sight, because we may be facing some of those same things ourselves. The first thing the writer marks as distinctive about this life with Christ is confidence. In the face of all that life can bring, Jesus' people are confident. And our confidence is rooted in two things, in Jesus' death and in his resurrection. First, we can be confident that Jesus' sacrifice was entirely sufficient. His death was enough. And because it was, we get to be in relationship with God once again. So when we are tempted to distance ourselves from God, maybe because of fear, guilt, shame, or even just apathy, we must remind ourselves that Jesus gave his life precisely so that each one of us would be able to draw near to God once again, with complete confidence that his door is always open to us. And second, perhaps more importantly for us now, because of Jesus' resurrection, we can also be completely confident that the culmination of this story we call life is assured. God wins. So despite what our doom scrolling or the latest headlines tempt us to believe, God wins. Things might be really hard for us right now, and the future might look uncertain, but God wins. And that promise that was proven by the reality of Jesus' resurrection, it is the second source of our confidence. It is also the source of our inextinguishable hope, which is yet another distinctive marker of the Christian life. We are people of confidence, and we are people of hope. So when everything around us seems to be bad and fears loom, we lean on the truth that Jesus rose and God wins. Don't let the headlines or the media tempt you to give in to your fears. Think of the empty tomb and remember our confidence, our hope is in God. The God who has come to us in Christ, the God who raised Jesus from death, the God who wins. Now, in the times when you find yourself struggling to stand against your fears, and we all have times like that, please remember a third distinctive of the Christian life, that we were not ever meant to face those fears alone. God's people are designed to live in community with God and with each other. Remember what God said way back at the beginning, it's not good for humans to be alone. It's nearly impossible to stand strong and endure on your own. We are meant to do life together, to remind each other of God's promises together, to worship and serve and seek God together, and to pool our faith when your faith alone is not enough. Sometimes it can be quite tempting to think that we can follow Jesus just as well or maybe even better on our own that we don't need to be part of a church community. And sometimes we're actually tempted to distance ourselves from our community, maybe because our pastor has let us down, or maybe our fellow disciples are frustrating us. When these temptations loom, friends, please resist. Don't withdraw. Don't believe the lie that you're better off on your own. Living in community like we do is hard work at times, for sure, but it's essential and ultimately good work. It's work that benefits all of us, whether it always feels like it or not. We encourage each other. We watch out for each other. We pray for one another. And we stand together, holding each other up when we need to. Bottom line, we choose to keep loving each other, especially when we are sorely tempted not to. As the writer says here, don't give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. So come to church. For some, come back to church. Don't try to stand alone. As God said in Genesis, it's not good. Friends, the details of life now are much different for us than they were for the first hearers of this passage. But the overall situation we face is quite similar. When times get tough, we can all be tempted to let go. To let go of the ways that Jesus leads us in. And even whether we clearly see it or not, sometimes to let go of God. So the wisdom offered by the writer of this letter, whoever he actually was, is invaluable. We must hold firm to the truth of our gospel, that because of what Jesus has done, we can draw near to God and stand firm until the future we hope for, the future God has promised, the future that began on the day Jesus walked from his tomb. We stand firm until that future comes at last. Amen.
Good morning. Holy One, Shepherd to us all, call us together now in body, mind, and spirit. Let us be, in this moment, joined in prayer so we may amplify with one voice our hope in you. Our hope in your creation, our hope in your peacemaking, and our hope in your grace. As I invite you to join me in prayers of the people this morning, I encourage you to sense the Lord's presence in the word in which he tells us to pray as though we have received. Remember that God's response to our prayers may not look like we may have envisioned it, but he knows what's best for each and every one of us, and we can pray in confidence in his word. Father, help each one of us to be patient and to wait upon you. Help us to be still and listen for your voice. Today, we humbly come before you as your children and as your church, and we give all praise and glory to you for this wonderful gift of life. Father, we hear and see so much going on in this world that is of concern for us, and at times seems so overwhelming that we feel helpless. Thank you for reminding us that it is in our weakness that you are strong. We come before you today in prayer and petition with thanksgiving to present our concerns. We pray for the people suffering around the world and those closer to home. We pray for those suffering oppression and war, and those countries immersed in wars that most of their people had no choice in. We pray that the leaders of their countries seek peace above power. We pray for those who are experiencing the devastating outcomes of natural disasters around the world and lately more close to home. We petition concerns for those who are suffering with homelessness, with poverty, hunger, and addictions. We especially pray today for peace of mind for all those struggling with mental illness. You promise in your word that you will transform our minds, Father. We pray for guidance to seek your will to fulfill this promise. We pray for those who are experiencing physical, emotional, and spiritual difficulties today. For those who are grieving the loss of loved ones, grieving specific events in their family, in their lives, and for some, grieving the absence of events in their lives. Father, we pray for all the families, children, youth, and the elderly in our community and around the world. In this world with so much suffering, it's easy to become overwhelmed, anxious, and feel helpless. But as your children, disciples, and stewards, we know that we have prayer. Therefore, there's always something we can do. Please join me as we take a moment to pray in our hearts or out loud for the persons or circumstances that the Lord brings to mind. Heavenly Father, we make these prayers and petitions with thanksgiving to you, coming before you in confidence through your Son, Jesus Christ. May we all be filled with trust and hope in our Lord Jesus. Thank you for the gift of today. Thank you for this opportunity to come together as a church family. Please join me in the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples so long ago. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Would you join me in this offertory prayer as we give thanks to God for all the ways he provides for us? We thank you for all the gifts you offer back to God here at St. Stephen's. Let us pray. Loving God, we start our giving with thanksgiving, grateful and knowing that all that we are and all that we have is a gift from you. In faith and in love, help us each to listen for and do your will. We offer you our gifts of time, talent, and possessions as a true act of faith and trust in you, and as a reflection of our love for you and for our neighbours. May they truly be that for you and for them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Holy words, long preserved for our walk in this world, they resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart words of life, words of hope. They give us strength, help us cope in this world wherever we roam. Ancient words will guide. Ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words.
Friends, go in peace, assured that God has heard and will continue to hear your prayers. Remember that no curtain separates us from the presence of God. Therefore, every table at which you will sit this week, be it a school desk, a workbench, a meeting room table, a lunch counter, an office desk, a board across some sawhorses, your own kitchen or dining room table, every table is God's altar. So boldly pray and hold fast to hope, and encourage and provoke one another to put love into action. And as you do these things, may God bless you and keep you. May God's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may God look upon you with kindness and grant you his peace. Amen.
Satisfies my